quit your job. No, seriously, I'm telling you, quit your job. If you want to start a business but don't know what kind, how the hell are you going to figure that out in your current job that you hate? There's only one way to find out, and that's what we'll be talking about today. How to figure out what you want to become when you grow up.
You're smart, you're motivated, you want to do something big. You're on the verge of being a young boss, and we're going to help you get there. I'm your host, Isabel Guarino, and welcome to the Young Boss Podcast, where youth is your power.
How do you figure out what kind of business you want to start? People ask me this all the time, and I think it comes down to asking yourself the hard questions. You're going to have to create a list of all of the jobs or careers that you've ever wanted to do, even the ones from when you were a kid. This list will likely be all over the board, from sensible and practical to completely random and aspirational. But I want you to daydream and actually visualize, what would each one of these businesses be like? Let yourself live in that moment and really come up with, what is this? What would it feel like? What money could I make? How many people would I have to employ? What type of life would it give me? Sometimes we think about the job as a title or a specific thing like that, but we're not really going into the day-to-day. I want you to also dive deeper. What brings you joy? What kind of work environment do you want to be in? Do you want to stay at work, you know, working from home, or do you want to go be in a big building with a bunch of people or in a cubicle? Do you like to travel? Do you want to be living on your own time? Or do you like to work with teams? You know, some people, they get into a career and they realize, man, this is working all by myself and all by my lonesome. And they miss that social aspect. So these are all things you have to consider. Also, what businesses fit the lifestyle that you have and the lifestyle you're looking to achieve? Lastly, something to really, really dive deep into is, what skills are you good at and what skills do you want to be using? When I think about this, I often think about different people in my life. Like, for example, my partner, Brandon. He is amazing at coaching. It just oozes out of his pores. When we're out on the boat and someone goes out to wake surf, he just jumps to the back of the boat and he starts coaching them and guiding them so that they feel confident and secure and they learn that skill. And he doesn't, you know, it's not like a pushy thing. It just comes so naturally from him. And the people who are there, you know, wake surfing, they're like, I got it. And he's just like the biggest cheerleader for them. And once they've kind of got it, he pulls back and he kind of lets them do their thing. And until they say, you know, what am I messing up? How do I stay on the wake more? Then he gives them more guidance, but it just comes from him. And one day I was looking at him and I was like, you know, that one of your skills in life is just coaching. Like, you are just a coach. I don't know how else to describe it, but that is such a skill that you have that a lot of other people don't have. You don't raise your voice. You don't get angry. You meet them where they're at and you tell them exactly what they want or need to help get them to the next level. He doesn't sit there and lay out the whole map and show you the whole, you know, Monopoly board. It's just one square at a time. This is the one skill you need. Okay, you mastered it. Next, next, next. So when he thought about what type of business he wanted to open, that skill came into handy. It was one of those things where it's like, what are you personally good at? How do we build that into business? You know, when I started thinking about what I wanted to be when I grew up, I started reflecting on my interests and hobbies. For example, if you would have asked me when I was a kid what I wanted to do, I had one answer and one answer only: be a mom. That is all I wanted to do. I thought that was the best job in the world because I watched my mom be an incredible mom and she made a career of it. She was cooking us fresh meals 3 times a day. She was showing up at every single thing, driving us around here, doing there. And what I really was saying that I wanted was not only to invest my life and everything into my children, but I loved her organization. And I realized that's really one of the skills that I personally had too, is that she could manage 4 kids, all of their interests, her husband, his interests, and put it all together and really make it make sense and make it flow seamlessly. She was that missing, you know, puzzle piece, that glue that kept us together as a family. And I loved that. So I also really liked to travel. And as I got older, I became a flight attendant, as you guys know, and I loved being out and being free and going to different places and meeting a lot of people, which both of those skills, organization and traveling play a lot into what I do right now. I literally travel the country to teach people about residential assisted living. I'm getting to meet people all across the country, traveling all the time. I think I was gone 33 weeks last year. So that is literally what I do all the time. And organization is key, making my schedule work, making my family schedule work, all of that, as well as hosting events. You know, something I learned, one of my hobbies, I would say, is performing. When I was in high school, I was a cheerleader. I loved trying out for school plays or drama club or things like that. And I really liked performing. So public speaking, that went hand in hand. Now, if you would have asked me what I wanted to be, it was not, you know, a public speaker on residential assisted living. No, but what skills did I have? What interests did I have? Organizing, traveling, performing, all of these different things kind of went together. I'll also say this, you know, in high school, I actually really loved like doing my homework. I know that sounds so lame and nerdy, but like I loved homework and projects and getting things done, bringing projects to completion so much that I would get paid to do other people's homework. I would often, if there was like a project, I know this is so lame, on Fridays in Bible class, they would do a project where you had to bring a news article and relate it to a Bible verse. And we had to submit it every single Friday and write like a one page on this. I loved this assignment so much. It was so easy for me that I would do like 10 of them every Friday. And then I would sell them for $20 a pop. That is how much I love just getting work done and doing projects. So when I started my own business, I was like, oh, I am just that get it done type of gal. Like, give me a project. I'm going to bring it to fruition. I love making it happen. And all of these skills, again, I didn't really know what they meant or how they could tie together, but they ended up tying together perfectly in my business. So as you're thinking about your values, your interests, your hobbies, okay, how does planning parties, being a cheerleader, doing other people's homework, loving to travel, wanting to be a mom, how do all these things correlate? Well, think about what skill or what habit you actually truly enjoy. And that's the thing we're trying to pull out. I also want to talk about identifying your values. I really love helping other people become successful, confident, lucrative. In my business, I get to show other people how to create successful businesses all day long, get financial freedom, time freedom, money freedom. Those are values to me, helping other people build the life that they want. Also sharing knowledge and information. That's always been something really important to me. If I know something that's important and valuable, I want to share it with the people around me so we can all grow together. Again, teaching from stage, that's exactly what I'm doing, but I don't know how to correlate those two. And maybe you're thinking right now, what are my skills? What are my habits? What are my values? How do I pull them all together? There is a way. There's something out there that makes sense with all of those different skills. And when you pull them together, it becomes your secret sauce. It really is so valuable to know who you are and what you love to do. And all of those different experiences in your life will guide you to that next step. I also want you to think about, what do you want out of your business? You know, Tony Robbins talks about the six needs, the six human needs. And I like to ask new business owners, do you want to make a difference? Do you want to make a positive impact on society? Do you want variety and new things happening every day? Do you want autonomy? Do you want simply just a way to make money? If you're not aware, the six human needs that Tony Robbins talks about are certainty, uncertainty, or variety, growth, contribution, significance, and connection. You need to find out which of the human needs is the most important to you. And I know that sounds weird because sometimes you're like, well, they're all important. Yes, they are, but to varying degrees. So if connection is one of the most important needs to you, you need to connect with other people. Working alone or on a one-man team is probably not going to bring you a lot of happiness in your life. So knowing your need, your specific need as a human, is going to help you answer these questions. As you start your search by thinking about who you are as a person, don't think just about making money or labeling yourself an entrepreneur. I know entrepreneurship is sexy and everybody wants to do that. Oh, I want to, you know, be self-employed. Okay, but there's a whole lot of mess that comes with that. And if it's just about money, you're going to be out of the game real quick. And if it's just about a sexy title of working for yourself, you're going to be out of the game real quick. Let's talk about it. It is really important for you to understand what the perception of a job or a career is versus the reality. What you thought the job was versus what it actually is. This is key. I know I have a bunch of lawyer friends who thought, I want to be a lawyer because I love arguing. I love a good debate. And then they got into law school and realized, being a lawyer is just a lot of reading, and I actually hate reading. And so it didn't make a lot of sense for them. Or my friend just started dating a pharmacist, and I'm talking to him. I'm like, tell me about your day to day. I want to hear, like, what is your life as a pharmacist? And he was like, I thought, you know, I'm a doctor. I thought it was going to be like helping people, and I'm a medical professional. And he's like, all I do is math all day long. I'm doing math, math, math. And he's like, I actually hate math. And I was like, oh, but after all those years of becoming a pharmacist, he's kind of now stuck. I know quite a few influencers who you may think that their job, you may look at that and be like, oh my God, I wish I was an influencer. How much fun. Woo. No. Okay. When you actually hang out with them, their job is editing videos. It's not the glamour that they're portraying that it is. It's a lot of like head down working on the phone. It's not this like, oh yes, here's my glamorous life. Most of the time, it's not like that at all. It takes like 1,000 shots to get the shot, right? And then it's all about editing it so that it looks perfect. And so really, when you're talking to these people in the industries that you're curious about, ask them what the day-to-day is like. And ask them if they would let you shadow them. I think this is so important. If you are seriously interested in starting a specific business or jumping into a specific career path, a mentorship or having a role model can be huge for you. And I know I got to watch, you know, my dad do something, and I got to see what that day to day was like behind the scenes. So I knew the gripes, and I knew the pain points, and I knew the things that were so annoying about this, you know, traveling. With traveling and being able to have that variety in my life, which I very much want, my Tony Robbins six needs, I love variety. It also comes with being away from home, which means being away from my family. And a lot of people, maybe they wouldn't have understood that. They would say, I love to travel. It's great. But when you're alone in a hotel room over and over and over again, and your family's at home creating memories without you, that can suck. That's something that was a real reality of my job, and I had to figure that out. So when you talk to someone and ask like, hey, can I come shadow you? Or you're asking them about the day to day, really engaging, observing, and really seeing what that is like is going to be super important. And a lot of people may be wary about you coming to, you know, work with them for a day, right? Like a take your friend to work day, take your daughter to work day. It's basically what you're asking for. So think about what you can do for them in exchange for the access and information. For example, okay, youth is your power in this, baby. If social media is your thing, website development or new marketing strategies, maybe using ChatGPT, say to them, I would love to come shadow you. I'm really interested in this industry and I want to see if it's a right fit for me. I want to know what the day-to-day is like. So don't sugarcoat it. I really want to see the ups and downs. Now, I noticed on your social media, you don't have a ton of followers. I would love to help film with you and create some fun things that maybe we can get some good eyes on your social. Or, hey, I really am awesome at using ChatGPT to create newsletters. I'd love to create a newsletter that we can send to your clients in exchange for you letting me come shadow you. This is huge because if you're clear about your motives and your expectations and you're communicating clearly about your level of interest, the person you ask to shadow may be a little weary, like, oh, okay, well now this is going to take more time and more energy for me and I have to kind of put on a show for them. So pause. You need to be clear with them about your motives and your expectations. You are not expecting to be hosted that day or that week that you're coming to hang out with them. Clearly communicate your level of interest. You need to let them know you're seriously looking about getting into this business and you want to know the good, bad, and ugly. They don't even need to talk to you during the experience. I know that sounds weird, but if you're shadowing someone, just shadow them. Find out what they're doing and find out what it actually looks like. When you talk to them, you're distracting them from what their actual day-to-day would look like, and they're going to over-explain it to you and maybe go on a tangent, and it's going to not be as real as if you're just in the room observing. So make sure that you're really open and honest about your intentions. I mean, what would your response be if somebody asked if they could observe you? I know I've had people who say, hey, I want to know what your day-to-day is like. And I'm like, come on board, come on board. And if they say, hey, I'll film you and I'll give you a couple reels after, I'm like, even better. Like, I will take it. They're not asking me to invest money or time in them. They're investing their time in me. And because of that, it is a little bit of a nuisance, right? So they're giving me something back, something that I wouldn't have if they weren't there. And if anything, if it's giving them a leg up in business, you guys know I love to help another young boss, so I'm always happy to do it. But if someone's a little weary about it, make sure that you offer value.
Hey there, it's Isabel. It's time for you to join the community of ambitious young professionals who are taking their careers to the next level. Hit the subscribe button and become a part of the Young Boss movement today. Now, back to the show.
Emma Rosen talks about her radical sabbatical where she quit her job and tried all the jobs, even the crazy ones that she had ever thought about or even dreamed about. So what is her advice? Well, quitting your job. Listen, I dare you to do it. How are you going to know what you want to get into if you have no experience? And to get experience, you need one thing. Time. You can't go volunteer somewhere. You can't go shadow somewhere if you're stuck at your W-2 9-to-5. If you're stuck doing whatever it is that you absolutely hate doing. Emma Rosen encourages dating around. And we're not talking about dating around people. We're talking about dating around careers. Gary Vee says that from ages 18 to 29, you should be trying things. And I couldn't agree more. You have to experiment with different jobs, different activities. You can go, you know, hang out with alpacas on a farm and see if you like farming. You can go try to hang out with a software engineer and see if that's what you're looking to do. But if you don't go and see what it actually is, you're either going to dedicate a lot of time thinking it's something it's not, trying to become that and being super disappointed, or never trying it because of analysis paralysis. So figure it out and quit that job. It's important to realize and to know that many of the most successful people in the world had multiple career changes before finding success or finding what they love to do most. Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx, one of my ultimate faves, she used to sell fax machines door to door until she decided to take matters into her own hands. She credits her mindset to her father, who taught her at an early age that failure is not the outcome. Failure is not trying. Say that one again. Failure is not trying. She's worth $1 billion today. Just try. Take it from her. Martha Stewart, laugh all you want. She has leveraged multiple careers, one after another, to parlay herself into eventually building a media empire. Martha Stewart is like queen and, you know, besties with Snoop. So we're all a big fan, okay? Vera Wang, she was a figure skater, a salesperson, a journalist. It wasn't until age 40 that she decided to pursue her passion of fashion design. And look at her now, household name, a legend. All that to say, it's experience that eventually gives us enough information to make decisions that fulfill us. Now, don't wait to experiment. You know, when we talk about youth and leveraging youth as your power, I just want to say something. And I want you to really hear me. Go for it. There is no better time than now. Nothing is in your way. The older you get, the more things are going to pop up and get in the way. The excuses are going to pile up. The more responsibilities that come, it's going to tie you down. Literally, I talked about this with my therapist. She's like, you buy a house, you don't realize that's a weight. It's a tie that pulls you down. You get a dog, it ties you down. You get in a relationship, it ties you down. You have a kid, it ties you down. Another kid. All of a sudden, you have all these chains of responsibility. And how are you going to go do the thing that you wanted to do? You can fly a lot farther and faster right now when you don't have those responsibilities. And if you're listening and you're like, I do have all those responsibilities, I have everything you just named, it's okay. You can still do it too. But every year, everything that happens to you is going to be another reason why you can't, why you shouldn't, why you won't. It is going to be so much harder to jump in and start what you wanted to do in 10 years than it will be today. Start now. Go for it. Use your youth. If I just totally lost you and you are terrified because you're like, oh my God, I can't jump off the ledge. Okay, there's one thing you know about me, and that it's I love tests. Working love language tests, personality tests, leadership tests, you name it. I've likely taken it, and I've likely had my employees take it. But the more you know, right? Now, there are some tests that you can take to help better understand what career might be best suited for you. And I highly encourage you to do something like this if you're saying, I have a lot of those responsibilities. It is not in my best interest to just quit my W-2, to let go of that income and just jump off the ledge. I get it. So let's test. Let's see what might be the right fit for you. And if really entrepreneurship is for you at all. Some amazing tests that you can take, the Kearsay Temperament Sorter, MAPP Career Assessment, or the Princeton Review Career Quiz. I definitely took that one when I was in college. But take a test, find out and see if anything's popping up that's really hitting the mark for you that you're like, I never thought about that. Once you go through your list, you have your skills, you have your habits, you're ready to go. Take that. See if it falls in alignment. Reality check. it is going to be extremely crucial for you to have a very strong why before starting your entrepreneurial journey. If your foundation is not solid as a rock, you are going to get hit in the face and you're going to fall over. It's not going to work unless you really have something holding you down, because you will be tested on this journey. It is not going to be easy. This is going to be probably one of the hardest things you've ever done in your life. We've talked about this before, but are you actually ready to start a business? When we talk about commitment and sacrifices, we've done a whole episode on sacrifices because it's so vital for a young boss to understand. You're going to be saying goodbye to the holidays, goodbye to weekends, goodbye to nights off, goodbye to some relationship. This is going to test every aspect of your life, and it's not going to stop. It's only going to keep going and keep getting harder and keep testing you, keep pushing you to your absolute limit to see, do you really want this? Is that why strong enough? And if your why is your kids and building a better life for them, amazing. Make sure it is solid. If your why is that, you know, you just absolutely hate your boss and you can't work for them, okay, but maybe there's another boss you could work for, right? The shakeout is real. 70% of startups fail within the first 5 years of starting. It is not easy, and most people don't make it out alive, right? So your why has to be the most solid thing, and you have to come back to it and come back to it, because when you get hit, you're going to fall on that foundation. And I need you to look at that why when your face is on the ground and get back up and keep going. When we talk about personal motivations, you know, I just mentioned maybe it's your kids, maybe it's money, maybe it's changing the trajectory of your family's life, generational wealth. You know, this is going to impact your resilience and your success. You have to remind yourself every day what and who you are doing this for. And maybe the who is you. Maybe you're doing this for you to prove that you can, to prove that you're worthy, to prove that your idea matters, that you matter. Whatever the case is, no why is a wrong why. Everyone gets into business for different reasons, but I want you to really have that locked in tight. You won't get very far without it. That's the reality. Taking action is the hardest part. And fear of failure is the biggest reason why most people never start a business. They never end up taking that leap of faith. So how does the fear of failure affect aspiring entrepreneurs? And what strategies can we use to overcome it? For me, I highly suggest surrounding yourself with people who support you and believe in you. There has been so many days in business where I have felt like a failure, where things haven't gone my way, where money is getting tight, where I'm doubting myself, I'm having imposter syndrome, and I've got to go back to my people. I've got to go back to my tribe and really just be vulnerable with them. And something that's really important, and I learned along the way, is sometimes you have to ask your tribe, ask your people to be there for you. And you're going to have to ask them and be vulnerable, be honest and say, you know, I am going to need you sometimes to remind me of who I am. I'm going to need you to remind me of my skills and my why, because I know not at all times am I going to be my most confident, energetic, enthusiastic self. And when you ask them and you're honest with them in that way, and then you come to them in that moment of vulnerability, being honest about your capabilities and your struggles, you'll be surprised at how they turn up for you. And sometimes you need to lean on someone else, right, to get their strength so that you can keep pushing forward. I'm also going to say this, protect your mind. This is so important for entrepreneurs and young bosses to hear. Trash in equals trash out. Be mindful of what you're putting into your head. If you are doom scrolling all day long, just feeding yourself trash, right? Junk in, junk out. It is so important that you are surrounding yourself with positive influences, with people who are motivating, with people who have been there, done that, who are going to help you get to that next level. Every single thing that you listen to, that you watch, that you surround yourself with matters. It's like a diet for your mind. It's so important. My mom taught us this growing up. She would never let us watch scary movies because she was always afraid that we were going to have nightmares. And she said, when you put that in your mind now stored it. And so in the middle of the night, when you have that nightmare, it's because somewhere in your mind, you saw that scary image, you saw that experience, and you're like, ah, and it brings it back up. Whatever you put in, it stays there. You can't just get rid of things forever, okay? So be really, really careful. The media you consume is vital, and the people you're around are key. So be honest, get yourself a good team, and protect your mind. So by now, hopefully you know what you kind of want to do and you know why you want to do it and what it'll take to achieve success. So How do we get there? Every business is different, but there's a handful of mandatory or required steps that every business owner and entrepreneur needs to make. And no, it's not launching a website or ordering swag. That is, you know, the fun part, but this is the not so sexy part. Some practical tips and steps that you'll need to hit the ground running. First, set up your LLC. Next, open a business bank account and get your licenses if your industry requires it. Last but not least, you need to figure out how you're going to fund this. Do you need investors? Time for a business plan, baby. We've got to pull it all together. Now that you have those things cooking, you can focus on marketing, getting the word out there. This starts to be into the fun part. Spread the word. Tell your friends and family, create your brand, a website, a logo. And if you're a brick and mortar, you've got to find that real estate, build out your space, and make it really come to life. Do your market research and be sure to target your ideal avatar for your business. Try all forms of marketing to see what works and then hone in on the platforms or methods that work for you and your business and that resonate with your ideal customer. There's plenty of other questions to answer and things to do, but all are unique to yourself and your business. And while it's a great idea to idolize and learn from others, it's not a great business decision to copy others. Make it your own. That's why you started your own thing, right? You have something, you thought of something that no one else has. You're not going to just start a business that already exists in 50 other forms. You have a secret sauce, a competitive advantage. So don't be a copycat, be unique, be yourself. Authenticity will always shine through. So if you're thinking, I want to start a business, but I don't know what to do, go back and re-listen. We just dropped some major tips right here. You've got to hone in on who you are, what you're looking to do, get those steps in order, and make sure you've got your tribe around you. Thanks for listening to another episode of Young Boss with Isabel Guarino. Be sure to like, share, and follow on Instagram and TikTok and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and let us know what childhood habit, skill, value is going to be implemented into your business today. Remember, youth is your power.